الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا اللهم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم صدق الله صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين أما بعد الحمد لله All praises and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to be here today to perform the Salatul Jumu'ah and to listen to the khutbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His rahmah, His mercy upon each and every one of us, to shower His hidayah, His guidance upon us, to shower His forgiveness upon us, and to shower His acceptance upon us. I once more ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His rahmah, His mercy upon me by giving me the permission and the ability to fulfill this responsibility in delivering the khutbah. I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower unto me the quality of tawakkal ala Allah, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa, the piety, the iman, the faith, the hikmah, the wisdom, the ilm, the knowledge, and once more the ability to fulfill this responsibility in delivering the khutbah. I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I put my tawakkal in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most sufficient. My brothers and sisters, in the previous sermon or khutbah 2 weeks ago, we reminded ourselves on the topic of insan, the topic of human beings. For those of us who were here, you will remember we were reminding ourselves how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with the ability of seeing, the ability of hearing, the ability to understand the qualities of insan, human beings, and how we are so chosen, how we are so special, because insan and human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ Allah says that He has created insan, He has created human beings in the best of form. So how we are very blessed to be created in the best of form by Allah, our Khaliq, our Creator. Allahu Akbar. So we reminded ourselves on that issue and how it is important for us as Muslims to be smart, to be intelligent, to use the intelligence, the abilities that Allah and the capabilities that Allah has blessed us with. So we reminded ourselves on that issue, and I think the topic at the Al-Hikmat Dawah table would be that human beings should be smart and special. Because Allah has made us smart and special, intelligent, khas, special. Best of form, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Interesting, subhanAllah. Today, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'd like to continue a little bit on the topic of insan, human beings, mankind. And it is still sort of fresh in my mind on Sunday at the fiqh class that we have here for adults on Sundays here at Darul Uloom. We were discussing the topic of human beings and how we are very hasty. What? How we are very hasty. We always hurry. We may not think we are like that, but we are like that. And I don't want you to get the impression that that is my opinion, that human beings are very hasty and they're always in a rush. But we live in a world today where everything is a sort of rat race, isn't it? We try to live fast and we die fast. Well, we can't die before the time Allah has written. That's just a terminology. Live fast and die fast. But when we look at our lifestyle, and in the second khutbah, we want to get into that a little bit, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, Chapter 17 of the Quran. Allah tells us in chapter 17 of the Quran, verse 11. Listen to what Allah says of human beings. And let us reflect on our lifestyle. Let us look at what we do on a daily basis and how we live this life on a daily basis. Allah says here, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانِ. What? وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانِ, chapter 17, verse 11. بِالشَّرْءِ. And human beings, they call. Technically, the word here, they call. They invite upon themselves. They bring upon themselves. They cause upon themselves. Evil. بِشَّرِي دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. And now Allah continues to say, very interesting, they call upon themselves evil in place of calling upon themselves good, خَيْرِ. So we have the Arabic word here, شَرْ, and we have the Arabic word here, خَيْرِ. شَرْ means bad, evil. خَيْرِ means good. So human beings, what has happened to us in the lifestyle that we live nowadays, we are always in a chase, in a hurry, in a haste, in a rush, that we cause upon ourselves bad and harmful things to happen. We self-destruct ourselves. Because Allah continues to say, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Ajula means, for certainly human beings are always in haste. Human beings are hasty. You want this right now. We want to get this right away. You're going to school, we're going to college, you now start college, you got a 7 years or 5 years, but you want a degree already. You now start a business and you want to be making money. But everybody knows it takes a little effort. You got a capital, you put out something, you start something, you make effort, you do such and such, and then you reap the rewards. We plant a seed in the ground. We got to wait for a certain time for the tree to grow so we can get the fruits. Right? There is a procedure. So as I have mentioned, bi-idhnillah, we were talking about this on Sunday in the fiqh jurisprudence class. And, you know, the idea came to my mind that, bismillah, we should share this in the khutbah today. Because when the students ask different questions, it helps me to think. So look at our lifestyle. And that is what happens in everything. So we're using the example of a child. A mother gets pregnant. Your wife gets pregnant. The child got a certain time, right? 9 months. It's the normal schedule. And some children may be born premature. But the schedule is 9 months. Do you try to take the baby out before time? Unless if there's a health situation with the mother and medically it's proven that it will be okay. So we go with the little medical technicalities. But on the normal process, we go with what Allah has written. When the child should be born. And we don't rush that. Yeah, there are certain medical technicalities. Yeah, we understand the mother is due today and she's not prolonging a few more days. So they use certain medical measures to sort of speed up the delivery. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the real time, the general time. So if the human being, the insan, Allah, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah has created human beings in the best of form. And Allah has a time for this baby to be born. From the sperm to the clot of blood to the formation of the body inside, the baby, development of different features in the baby. And Allah says, it's now time for this baby to come into this world. So similarly, my brothers and sisters, when this baby comes into this world, right? There's also a development stage for this baby as the baby grows into a physical form. Baby, a little boy, growing to a teenager, into a young adult. And the baby grows up. So similarly, in our development in life, our progress in life, Allah has a time and He has a way in our qadr. You know what is qadr? Qadr is our taqdeer. Qadr is the measurement of our lifespan, the measurement of our sustenance, the measurement of our progress, the measurement of our promotion, the measurement of our achievement in life. Allah has a progress plan for that. And sometimes we try to rush that. And then we go the haram way. So you want to make money quick. So the easiest thing is to sell drugs. Sell haram. Do haram. And we make fast money. That's just being a little ridiculous in the extreme. But don't people do that? And what happens to them? Exactly what Allah says here. وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانَ بِشَرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Then the person goes selling drugs. He gets locked up. He goes in jail. He caused the evil on himself. So much gave him. And he's like, what has happened to me? What has gone wrong? No. We try to rush what Allah has planned for us. So instead of having patience and doing what is right in the right way, in the right time, in the right manner, we cause this harm on ourselves. And I'm only using the example of selling drugs. People do other things in other ways. People do many things in many different ways and many different achievements. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. عَجُولًا. Allah is saying that human beings are very hasty in making decisions. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, reported by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it has been a very strong saying of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he has learned from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when you want to make a decision, do not make a decision when you're angry. Do not make a decision when your mind is not at peace. Don't be hasty in making a decision because we may have to regret it. Don't be hasty in saying bad things because you may have to eat those words. So what is expected from a Muslim? Not to be hasty. Not to be hasty. You make wudu, you pray to rakat salah, relax the mind, put the mind at peace, at ease, and then you're going to see how gradually the right decision will come. And we will make a decision of khair, good, as opposed to a decision of bad. Why do you think in Islam, on the normal marriage laws, normally, I don't want to get into a big thick jurisprudence of a husband is this and a husband is that and a wife. A woman can get a divorce called khula. If the husband falls under certain categories that are not Islamic and she's justified to get a divorce, if he does not want to give her divorce, she can go to the qadi, she can go to the imam, the Islamic judge, she can go to the whatever judge and then lay her case. And if it's justified, she will get a divorce. So the husband cannot oppress her and persecute her. You follow that? So I just wanted to mention that. But on a general note, the Islamic procedures, the man gives the divorce. Why? Because most of the times women are always angry. I hope the sisters don't get angry at me. Well, not really angry, sorry, sir. Let me use a better word. Women get very emotional very quick. Women get what? Emotional very quick. And a lot of times, women make decisions with their heart and do not use the brain. So as soon as she gets angry, the husband is, leave me. I want a divorce. I want a divorce. I'm going back home. You see? You hear that all the time. Leave me. So Islam has been designed in such a way that the man gives the divorce. The man, he starts thinking this, that. He may get angry. He may tell you 40 times, I will divorce you. But before he says divorce, he thinks 4,000 times. See what I'm saying? The woman is all ready to leave. But she doesn't really want to leave, in all fairness to the sisters. It's just the emotion. The hasty decision. So in Islam, the Sharia is the man gives the talaq. And I already mentioned before that if the man does not want to and he's supposed to and he has to, well, then the woman can do khula, which will have the rights to seek a divorce from the Islamic laws. So the hasty decision, you see how Islam has designed it? Do you know there's a whole protocol of divorce? And that's a whole different topic. I don't want to be talking about that. There's a whole protocol of divorce in Islam, my brothers and sisters. You want to get a divorce? No, you guys don't go home and divorce your wife and say, well, he spoke about divorce in the khutbah today, so we want to apply it. You don't apply anything else, but you're going to apply divorce. There's a protocol. If you study the law and the jurisprudence in Islam, you got to wait for when your wife is in the tahara time, when she's in the days of praying, and she's not in her monthly menstrual cycle. Oh, a lot of wisdom. One divorce. Wait for a few days. You have 90 days together in one home. And it's a whole long. You live together in one house. You be together. You do every possible thing of reconciliation to keep the husband and wife together. See? Not just get out and we will talk about divorce. No. Even during the period of divorce, the wife will stay in the home. Fed, clothed, loved, and taken care of by the husband. So there is every opportunity to bring them back together. See, no hasty decision. Islam tries to control that hasty decision of insan, of human beings, because Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that Allah knows that human beings are very hasty in making decisions. So before the time get off track with me, I know it's already 10 past. In the second khutbah, my brothers and sisters, I want to continue a little bit on this angle and on this topic of insan, and why we must not be hasty, and why we must live this Quranic life, and, you know, go the way Allah expects us to go. You know, there's a famous Urdu saying, Allah ke kaam der hai lekin andher nahi. You must have heard that. That Allah's work may seem to be slow. You know, you want something get done. So it may seem to be slow. My dua is not accepted. When is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? Allah's work and decision, Allah's decision may seem to be slow, but Allah's decision is sure. And Allah makes a decision. It's pakka, sure, mazboot, and the right decision. What is best for us? That's how Allah works. But it is us, as Allah says in this verse here, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِشَرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. We in our haste, hurry for everything, we do things the wrong way, we cause the wrong things and the evil upon us, and deprive ourselves of the good if we go Allah Sirat al-Mustaqim, and we go the way Allah and the Quran and Sunnah says to go, we will have khair, we will have success, and we will have the achievement the way Allah expects. In the second khutbah, we'll continue bi'idhnillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah without reckoning. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Once more we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us to be here to perform the Salat al-Jum'ah and to listen to the khutbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We again ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his mercy, his guidance, his forgiveness, and his acceptance upon each and every one of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower unto me the quality of tawakkal ala Allah, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa, the piety, the iman, the faith, the hikmah, the wisdom, the ilm, the knowledge, and the ability once more to continue with this responsibility. I put my tawakkal, I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most sufficient. So now that we have reminded ourselves a little bit on human beings, as human beings, Allah has confirmed that we are very hasty. That's why it is important as Muslims, as believers, that we always put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of times why we are hasty, it's because we don't put our trust in Allah. If we put our trust in Allah, you know, it's like the law, law enforcement. If you think that law enforcement, if you believe and you trust that law enforcement will handle a situation, thieves broke somewhere and you report it to the police. Well, police in America, not many countries. Other countries, the police might be the thieves themselves. The police might be the thieves themselves, meaning they disappeared so the thieves could come. So they were part of the stealing. But America is, alhamdulillah, a little much different to that. So you know that the police will get the crooks. Or such and such happens, so you report it to the police. Or you're driving your car on the road and somebody hits you. Would you come out and beat the person? Would you come out and take the person's wallet and say, let's see how much money you have. I'm going to pay for this myself. No, you got a system. You call the police, you get a report, it's submitted to the insurance company, and there is a protocol and a professional procedure to get repaid for whatever has happened. Not like in some other countries, you will start to beat the man, the whole village will come down, there'll be a whole big war, mash up the entire car. Because what has happened? Everybody has taken things in their own hands. Hastiness of the human being. And that's what Allah is telling us. Ajula. Chapter 17, verse 11. Insan, human beings, always want to do things in a hasty way. But if you're in America, you're in Pembroke Pines, you know the police is going to take a report, you call the insurance. Very professional, you wait on the time, and the next thing you know, your car is totally fixed. And you might even get some cash to put in your pocket also. Right? You see? Other than that, if you were to make the decision and take the decision to do things on our own hands, you might be in jail. We might be in jail. That's the ajula that Allah is talking about. But what has happened here is that we have put our trust in law enforcement. So we put our trust in the insurance company. So we know the police will take you off it. The insurance company will take you off it. They say, brother, you got an accident? Say, yes, this is what's going on. Say, no, the insurance will take care of it. Don't worry, everything is all right. So just as we have placed our trust in the hands of the police officer that we gave the report to, in law enforcement, just as we have placed our trust in the insurance company, Why can't we put our trust in Allah, who is the pilot of our lives? Huh? Why do we have to make hasty decisions? And I mean in everything. In our family lives, in our businesses, in our social lives, in our friendship, in our relationship. We just end, we break and we make. Put our trust in Allah. That's the bottom line. Remember, my brothers and sisters, we should always trust Allah and we should only put our trust in Allah. Don't put your trust in human beings. Nowadays, we live in a time, do you know we live in a very strange time? You live in a strange time and nowadays, wives cannot even trust their husbands. Right? Husbands cannot even trust their wives. Parents cannot even trust their own children. Blood brothers and sisters cannot even trust their brothers and sisters. What about neighbors and co-workers? Huh? Blood ties are not trusting. Sad times. That's why we put our trust in Allah always, and we only put our trust in Allah. Yeah, you love everybody, responsibility, be nice, but tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah. Nobody knows what can happen. Because human beings are very ajula, hasty. They can make quick decisions. Why do you think in Islam you're recommended to make written decisions? Even your own children, if you don't make a written decision with properties, they may put you out before you die. Don't you see that happening? And sometimes you put your properties in one child's name and you're still living in your own house, and the child tells you who you can allow in that house and which brother and sister you cannot allow in that house. Your own house. You only put the child's name in it. But the child just gets angry. The child just has a problem with their brother and sister. I'll tell you very frank. I don't want that brother in this house. It's in my name. Hasty decisions. What about the Quran and Sunnah? That's the point. We need to go according to what the Quran and Sunnah says, not our desires and decisions. Not how we want things, our whims and fancies, but what Allah says and how Allah expects us to live this life, to be successful. That's what is important. That is what is more important, as we would say. Very important. But that's not what we do today, my brothers and sisters. That's not what we do. And that is so sad. Do you know, one of the signs, subhanAllah, this may sound a little harsh, yeah? And sometimes you're scared to mention these things. People feel offended. People feel affected. But we got to remind, our job is to remind ourselves. Remind myself, remind you, remind all our viewers worldwide on Al Hikmah TV, on YouTube, on Facebook. Our job is to remind ourselves. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, and by reminding, the believers benefit. Do you know today we live in a strange time? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says that one of the signs of the day of judgment, is that people will not be trusted anymore. See why I said you must put your trust only in Allah? One of the signs of judgment day, ending of the world, is that trust will not exist anymore. That's what I was saying. You can't trust even blood ties. Yeah, very sad. That trust will be lifted. What you say, people say, amanat bhai, ye mera amanat hai. Say, bhai, I tell you a secret, keep it. It's an amanat, it's a trust. Before you even know it, the whole world knows it on Facebook. Say, kaha hai trust, amanat. It's not an amanat, it's not a trust anymore. Sign of the day of Qiyamah, trust has been lifted. You can't trust anybody. Sometimes we can't even trust ourselves because we may talk out the secret in our dreams. In the dream. So the hadith says, sign of Qiyamah is the trust will be lifted from amongst people. Can't trust anybody. Very sad time. That's why we must only put our trust in Allah. Wife, children, husband, workers, brothers, sisters, respect, love, be nice. But don't put a trust in anybody. Put a trust in Allah. Very deep. And this is a hadith, and this is a sign that it will be lifted, and it has already been lifted. Because we don't see that existing as it should exist anymore. Come in to think about that, my brothers and sisters. What was one of the titles of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Al-Amin. The trustworthy person. And who gave him that title? The kuffar, the disbelievers. So trustworthy was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he got this title in his 20s before he received the message of the Quran at the age of 40.
He was in his 20s when the disbelievers call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy. The decision to put the black stone in the Kaaba with the confusion of all the different tribes, he was the man they placed the responsibility on because he was the trustworthy. They could have trusted him not to be biased with any tribe. Today that trust has been lifted. Trust does not exist anymore. You can't even trust people. You can't even trust who is supposed to be trusted. And that reminds me of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says that a time will come. A time will come when knowledge will disappear. What? Knowledge. Ilm. So the Sahabas had asked him, ilm? And then he explained, not that the Quran will disappear, not that knowledge will vanish, Islamic knowledge of Quran and Sunnah, but the people of knowledge will die. They will die away. They will what? Pass away. And then leadership of Islam will be placed in the hands of the jahil, ignorant people. We are also in that time. Of people that cannot be trusted. Because not only are they ignorant, they are arrogant, and they are not even there. Total chaos in the coming of the times. Don't you see that? I want to only talk in leadership in Islam. I don't want to talk of political leadership. Because, oh boy, you could throw that in a strainer and see how many trusted leadership you have in the world. Presidents and prime ministers, a bunch of talk, a bunch of arrogance, a bunch of money, a bunch of fake news, a bunch of lies by presidents and prime ministers of countries, fake liars, hate, destruction of people's character. You can't even trust leaders who are placed in the highest position in their country. Because trust has been bought by money. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the signs of the day of judgment. Trust will be lifted, will disappear. And that's what we are into. And that I don't need to tell you about. You know that. But in the Islamic leadership, let's concentrate now. Knowledge will disappear and ignorant people will be in Islamic leadership. Sign of the Day of Judgment. Very sad. Now, if you go around in Islamic organizations and Muslim countries, I don't say Islamic countries, but Muslim countries, you see that happening. You see that happening. And I don't want to call names. You see that happening. Trust lifted. Islam being sold. No sincerity. One of the other names for Islam is the Deen al-Ikhlas, the religion of sincerity. That trust has been lifted from Islamic leadership, generally speaking, in most countries and most places nowadays. The ignorant, what the Prophet ﷺ says, the ignorant people will become the leaders. And then they will make the decision. And he also says, one of the signs of the day of judgment in Hadith of Jibreel is that barefooted people will become wealthy. That is such a clear point that sometime I believe Qiyamah will be tomorrow. Because you see so much of that now. Do you know what it means by barefooted people will be wealthy? People who were gardeners, farmers, walk barefooted in the gardens, planting grass, planting this and planting that, no education, no money, nothing. Today they are the one who owns the skyscrapers, the buildings, the properties, and the wealthy. And then position is placed in their hands. Power and authority is placed in their hands because they got money. What is the saying? Money speaks and BS walks. No, I didn't say anything bad. A BS means a big shake. The shake, the scholar, not what you people thinking. So the ignorant becomes wealthy, owns the property and the skyscrapers and the villages and the towns and the properties and the businesses, and then the power and authority is placed in their hands. And if it's not placed in their hands, they buy the politicians and put them in their pocket. And whatever these ignorant, wealthy people say,
That's what the politicians do in government. This is all over the world. Not because I'm in America, I'm talking of America. It takes a few people to buy Trump. Never anybody to buy him. He buys everybody else. There's a whole different kettle of fish. But that's what goes on in the world. Khutbah. Human beings, trust in Allah. Don't make hasty decision, as Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 11. Insan is ajula, hasty people, quick to make a decision. Hurry, ponder in the Quran, pray to Allah, put our tawakkal in Allah, and make decisions like that. Muslims don't live this kind of haphazard, hasty, rat race, hurry life. Don't do that. That's not very Islamic. That was not the lifestyle of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a happy, peaceful, loving person. And he had the fikr and the worry of the entire ummah. Some of us today only have one house to worry about. He had 11 wives to worry about. Some people do not even have a wife. And they're so hasty and hurry, I don't know what they hurry about. He had so many wives to handle and homes. But he was always cool. He was always smiling. Oh, the only worry and frustration he had is about the deen. People accepting the deen. People following the deen. People following the path of Allah. Yeah? He wasn't that hasty, rugged person, cannot smile, upset, stressed out, trying to run the dunya, trying to get this whole world in our pocket. No. He wasn't like that. So why do we say we follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's the lifestyle we should live. That's the kind of personality we should have. Tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah, the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and be that cool, calm, practicing Muslim in a very loving manner. But because of the hastiness that we have in us, you see some bosses in a company, they're always frustrated. They're making money, you know, but they're still frustrated. So I'm like, well, if you're making money and you're frustrated, well, get out of the business. Yeah. You probably don't need to make money. If money is getting you frustrated, or it's more money getting you frustrated. Because we're greedy. You see, insan, human beings, are not only hasty, we're also greedy. We also what? Greedy. That's why we make hasty decisions. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if we have two valleys of gold and wealth, we will be greedy to have a third one. Human beings will only be satisfied and will not be greedy when they go in the grave and the earth fills their stomach. And they feel full, happy, bargayabai. My stomach is filled now. With what? The earth. Then we will come at peace. Other than that, But why do we have to be like that? Why don't we do according to Allah in the Quran and follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and live this happy, peaceful, loving life for the pleasure of Allah? So I want to read a few verses of the Quran as we conclude, inshallah. But because before I do that, you know, I always like my little humor. So a little humor passed through my mind. You know, sometimes people so hurry, eh? We so hurry that we're always trying to rush things. And if we have to buy things to rush it, the haram way, the illegal way, you want to buy the lawyer, you want to buy the immigration officer, you want to ship illegal, you want to do everything illegal to make money quick. So, you know, this is just about sincerity and being hasty. You know, there's a famous joke, and I'm sure most of you heard it, but just to refresh my mind and your mind and everybody. You know, it's a joke about the man. The angel of death, his name, it was time to take him. And the angel of death went and knocked his door. Open the door, who are you? He said, I'm the angel of death, I came to take you. The man was a clever man, he was smart. He said, well, Mr. Angel of Death, you are my guest right now. I am the host here. So it is Islamic that I entertain you as a guest, and then you can take my life. No problem with that. If it's my number call now, go ahead. I'm going to entertain you, come inside, sit in the living room,
gave him something to drink, but he overdosed the drink and put Mr. Angel of Death to sleep. And when Mr. Angel of Death went to sleep, he took the paper and see what? His name on top. He said, all right, he scratched it off and he put his name underneath the bottom of the list. After a little while, Mr. Death, Angel of Death, got up. I said, I had such a wonderful sleep and such a good drink, and you have been such a good host that not everybody entertained me as a guest when I go to take their lives at their home. So because you have been a good host, today I will start taking lives from the bottom of the list. But your name was in the top, so I'll take from the not. The guy was too hurry. He didn't go with Allah's plan. Allah would have changed that plan without him overdosing the angel. I know, that's just a joke. I don't go quote that. That's no hadith for Quran. It's a little joke. To match how people sometimes get hasty in their life in other matters, and then you do the crooked things, you do the wrong things, you get caught, and everything goes bada. Chaos, fitna, corruption, confusion, and then you're like, Sheikh, somebody put an evil jinn on me. I'm like, but you are the evil jinn yourself. You are the evil jinn yourself. That's why Allah says in the Quran, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانِ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 11. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Human beings cause their own evil upon themselves. Instead of calling and inviting and calling for good, we call this evil on ourselves because of the hastiness that we have. Anyhow. I want to conclude with a few verses of the Quran, inshallah. From Surah Al-A'la. Very interesting. Very interesting. Beautiful surah. That's why the Prophet used to recite this surah on Jummah Day. Surah Al-A'la, chapter 87 of the Quran. A few of the last verses of this surah. A few of the last verses of this surah. And as I say this, you know, I want to also be grateful to our viewers online. You know, we have viewers online, they look at the announcements, they look at the khutbahs worldwide. I mean, people all over the world, Indonesia, Malaysia, Dubai, all over, look at our khutbahs here live from Pembroke Pines here on Al-Hikmah TV. And there are people who start donating to Al-Hikmah TV because these are very expensive cameras you see here. A lot of equipment we have here that run these things to make it on the social media. And there are a couple of brothers and sisters who donate towards Al-Hikmat. May Allah bless all of you, and may Allah continue to guide you to contribute to Al-Hikmat. And those who are not doing it, may Allah guide you to contribute so we could spread this dawah worldwide, inshallah. Philippines, Malaysia, all over the world, mashallah. So I wanted to share that with a few people. There are a lot of people, sick people home, parents who kind of go to masjid. They stay home and they look at the khutbahs. They make dua for us. So all of you who donate and contribute towards this TV live broadcast, TV material we have, you know, we are very TV material because the person who edits this khutbah is a news editor for NBC TV. The person who edits this Friday khutbah is a news editor for NBC TV. So we are very professional, alhamdulillah. So all these people who are sick and who are home and who in different hours throughout the world, you know, make dua for these brothers and sisters who make this happen and contribute towards it, inshallah. So, in Surah Al-A'la, from verses 9, little verses, hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as we conclude, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fadhakkir in nafa'ati dhikra. You hear this all this time, inshallah. Because of the time, we're going to just take the last few verses. Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. He says, so remind. Spread the message. Remind people of the message of the Quran. And people will benefit. People will pay heed. They will benefit. They will profit from it. All right. In nafa'a. Nafa is profit, benefit. They will benefit from the reminder. But hear what Allah continues to say. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. So he adds a little thing to it by saying, but people who have fear for Allah,
they will pay more heed to the matter. Samajh gaye bhai? People sayadhakkar mayakhsha. Those who have fear for Allah, they have fear that Allah, they will lose the love of Allah, they will lose the pleasure of Allah, they will lose the promise and the blessings from Allah, they will pay heed to what Allah says in the message. So those of us who don't want to pay heed, hear what Allah says now. That's why sometimes I tell our brothers and sisters, when you come to khutbah, whether here or anywhere in the world, don't sleep. Don't be thinking of money and business while you sit here. The only money you should be thinking about is what you have in your pocket to put in the box after. Or to put in the police box to pay the police, the city, for doing patrol for your cars outside. Or to put in a Hikmah donation box. Don't worry about how much money make in there. Worry about how much you already made and what you could give in the path of Allah. See, sometimes why you only think about making? Think about giving. So when you give, you get more. Dabai says the greatness is in giving, not only receiving. Because when you give, you automatically receive. All right, anyhow. So hear what Allah says. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى الَّذِي يَسْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. He says, but there are people who do not like to pay heed to the message of Allah. And Allah says that they are the unfortunate ones. You come, you sit down, you're sleeping, you're worried about the biryani outside, the sandwiches. Oh, you just don't pay heed. And I don't mean us, worldwide, everybody, wherever you are. You don't pay heed to the message of the Quran. When you read the Quran, we don't ponder liyadabbaru ayatihi. We don't ponder on the meaning and the lessons of the Quran. Allah says, very unfortunate are those people. Very unfortunate. Wa yatajannabuha al-ashqa. Subhanallah. Astaghfirullah. Very unfortunate are those people that when they're reminded of the Quran and the message of Allah, they are unfortunate, those who do not be attentive and listen attentively and concentrate. Yeah, very deep. And then Allah says, Alladhi yasla an-nar al-kubra. And here, now this is very serious. Yeah? Allah says, and they are the people who will go to hell. Yeah. Those who ignore the message of Allah. Now, if they believe Muslims and they're believers, they'll have to go to hell before, get little barbecued, burn out all the bad deeds, and then they're going to go to paradise. Look, the Quran is saying that. Surah Al-Alaa, chapter 87, verse 12. Alladhi yasla an-nar al-kubra. They're the ones who will enter into that big nar, the big fire. I hear what Allah says about the fire. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. The life in that fire is a little interesting. You know what is interesting? Have you heard the terminology of living dead? Means a person looks alive, but he's also dead. Allah says that when you're in Jahannam, you will neither die nor will you be living. That's deep. That's the kind of stress and frustration that will be taking place inside there. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. No life and no death. Total face burnt out, come back again. Burnt out, come back again. Eat your fingers out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says when he on the night of Miraj that people will take their fingers and their fingernails. You know, like how some people grow their fingernails now? I don't mean fake fingernails, yeah? Real fingernails. And they scratch themselves. They will disfigure their faces. And Angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, I mean, he asked Angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, so why are those people disfiguring themselves? Why are they scratching open the face? And Angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, those are the people who will disfigure people's character in the world. People who will tarnish people's character in the world. People who will bad talk people and slander people in this world, they will disfigure themselves. As they wanted to tarnish the picture and the character of someone in this world, they will tarnish themselves in hell. It's very deep. Very deep. And then Allah says, "Qad aflaha man tazakka." But those will be the people who will prosper. Who are the people? People who purify themselves. They keep themselves always pure, clean, pure. Keep themselves, keep their hearts pure, keep their tongues pure, keep their characteristics pure, keep their amal, their deeds pure, and live that pure, good life based on what the Quran has taught us. Qad aflaha man tazakka. Who are these pure people? Wa dhakara isma rabbihi fasalla. And who are these people who will be pure? Are the people who will always be reminded of Allah. They will always glorify Allah. That's why, wa dhakara isma rabbihi fasalla. They will pray their salah. They will always make subhanallah. They will always glorify Allah. All their decisions and amal and actions will be in accordance with Allah. They are the people who will be successful. So they got to pay heed. And then Allah continues, says, "Bal tu'thiruna al-hayat ad-dunya." But why do you think people don't pay heed to the message? Why? Why do you think people don't pay heed to the message? Got to go back to work, boy. Got to make some more money. Today's Friday. We got to pay the bills. Well, all right. You got all day in the week and not 7 days of the week, 1 or 2 hours. It says, but it's the people who prefer the life of this dunya. They're the people who don't care to pay heed to Allah's message. بَلْ تُؤْفِرُونَ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Little do they know that that life of the hereafter is what is better for them. Allahu Akbar. So they should pay heed. Why do you think the Prophet ﷺ used to recite this surah in Jummah on Eid day? So the people will remember, pay heed to the message of Allah. Insan, human beings, don't be hasty, don't rush. Don't take decisions in your own hands. Do things the way Allah says to do it. The way the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated it and taught us. And those people who do not want to hear what Allah says because of their love for the dunya, because they have preferred this dunya over the life of the hereafter, they are the people who will be very unfortunate. And then Allah will say, "Inna hadha lafis suhufil ula, suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa." You hear this all the time, that this has been the same message. This is not a new message. This is not a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam message, my brothers and sisters. This is not a Muslim message of today. Allah is telling us this has been the message from the times before of all the prophets. In the pages of the other messengers. And he mentions Ibrahim or Musa. And all the prophets that came from then. This has been the same message Allah has been given to the people. This is nothing new. Islam is not hard. Islam is not difficult. Islam is not new. This is what Allah has been teaching all the time. Time does not permit us to continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and guide us to be able to have this fikr and this understanding to ponder and pay heed to Allah's message and live this lifestyle that Allah says, because the consequences could be very severe. And Allah has promised the success and the good and the benefit and the achievement when we pay heed to Allah's message. We obey, we follow, we live the right life, we'll be successful in this world as well as in the hereafter, the akhirah. Ya Allah, ya Rahman, Rahim, ya Rahman. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We thank thee, Allah, for all the favors and bounties you have bestowed upon us, ya Allah. We ask thee, Allah, to send your peace and blessings upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. We ask thee, Allah, to guide us all on the right path and give us all the good in this world and the good in the hereafter. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad bi 'adadi man sallaw wa sallam. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa 'ala ali Muhammad bi 'adadi man qa'ada wa qam.
وصلي على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى كل ملائكتك المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وعز وجل وهم أكبر. الله أكبر. أكبر.